Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Once again, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome you and thank you for talking to me, Omid Safari.
Hello, thank you very much, and thanks for this opportunity to talk with your dear listeners about different stuff. Thank you.
Omid, so one of the things that's always fascinated me about Iran is you look back at pictures of Tehran in the 20s and the 30s, and it was a dynamic, pretty secular society. The women were dressed superbly. They had incredible hairstyles. They wore short dresses. They had an orchestra. There were flights to Israel, all sorts of incredible things happening in Iran. And then the Shah fell, and there was a religious revolution instigated by the Ayatollahs. How does one explain that there wasn't a democratic revolution, specifically in a society which understood secularism so well?
Yeah, let me start with one sentence that in these days, many of the Iranian people, they repeat it every day, that Iran is the just one country in the world you can find like Iran. If you look at its past, you think it's the future. If you see the Iranian, some photos from 50 years ago in Iran, like streets, women, everything, you feel, wow, maybe in the future Iran will be like this. Iranian past is like the future.
Yeah,
we had a very beautiful life before the Islamic Revolution, but unfortunately, something happened in Iran in 1971, and let me say that it was not an Islamic revolution at the beginning. Many political groups were active in the formation of the Iranian revolution in 1979. Only one of them was Khomeini and Islamic groups. In the year leading up to the revolution, Khomeini, who lived in that moment in Paris, lied and decided that we were looking for a kind of democracy that even the communists could operate freely. But it was a big lie. And for this reason, all revolutionary groups accepted Khomeini's leadership for the revolution. But immediately after the victory of the revolution, the true nature of Khomeini became clear to the people. He said that there should be an Islamic system and government in Iran. For this reason, execution and prison by mullahs began the day after. Only just imagine, one day after the victory of the revolution. In short, mullahs stole the Iranian revolution from the people. As you know, in the Middle East, the Iranian nation are really educated, they have a really heavy and rich culture in Middle East, like the Israel, like the Jewish people in the Middle East. But unfortunately, I really don't know why the Islamic revolution happened in Iran. It was really unnecessary revolution. When my father, when everybody, when they think why we did it, no one knows. But someone say it comes because the reason of the revolution was because the Shah was really strong, the price of petrol was really expensive in that moment, and Iran was a good idea and symbol for other Middle East nation. That in that moment, like know how the President Biden in the United States, the Democratic president in that moment, Jimmy Carter was the same, like President Biden, and they wanted Shah to leave Iran, and they make an alternative, which is the Islamic regime in Iran. And I believe that it's impossible to build a democratic government by enforcing the laws of 14 centuries ago. It's my idea, with all my respect to your listeners. Maybe you have some Muslim listeners, but this is my idea.
But Omid, how would they have maintained control and social cohesion if there wasn't grassroots support? I mean, you can't oppress 80 million people. Surely there is more support for this Iranian Islamic revolution than you are indicating.
Because in this 80 million of population in Iran, more than 75 million, they have nothing. They have nothing to do. The economy, the money, the weapon, everything like the parliament, the Iranian super leadership, which is Khamenei in office, president, all revolution guard, just in the hand of these 5 million. And 75 million of the Iranian people, they have no any energy to do something. Just imagine right now, the biggest challenge for the Iranian people is eating, to find the food. And imagine at the same time, we have a very rich country, and I can say we have the richest country in the Middle East. Iran has everything. But another reason, every money we have in Iran, the government or the regime, they transfer it to Hezbollah of Lebanon, Hamas, Jihad Islami, blah, blah, blah. Why? Because the Iranian regime, and especially Khamenei, he doesn't love the Iranian people. He loves some person like Hezbollah. Why? Because if you travel to Lebanon, everybody in Hezbollah, they said Khamenei is our father. Why? Because of the money. I have a nice example. Khamenei said we don't need Pfizer and Moderna and every vaccine made by US and Britain. So every day in Iran, more than 200 people dead because of the corona. But at the same time, I have information, it's real information, from Lebanon and from some hospitals from Hezbollah, that the employees of Hezbollah, the personnel of Hezbollah, they received Pfizer vaccine. So just imagine. Because they love Khamenei. And Khamenei offered to them Pfizer vaccine. I mean that the Iranian regime is the biggest enemy of the Iranian people. Not the Israel, not the Jewish people. This government, this regime is our first and our last. This is our only enemy in the world. And in this time, it's very interesting that the Iranian people, they understand it. Just imagine next election in Iran, I'm sure more than 80 or 90% of the Iranian, they won't participate to the election. I guarantee that.
That's also that fascinating. Yeah, I don't know participation. So you raise an interesting thing in terms of participation in Iranian elections, but it's always the strong right that comes in stronger. You know, the moderates, the so-called moderates in Iran are the weaker party.
Yeah, this is this is also our question. The problem in Iran that all, as you said before, all the Iranian, more than 90% of Iranian people, they are against this regime. But unfortunately, they cannot do anything. And when you look at to the other countries, no one supports Iran. All of them, they think about the economy. We have, I can tell you clearly, we have just 2% in the world that they want to support the Iranian people to do some reform and to change something in Iran. Benjamin Netanyahu and Mohammed bin Salman, the prince of Saudi Arabia. Just these 2%. Just look at Vienna and what happened between Joe Biden and the Iranian regime. They want to give everything to Iranian regime.
And the something Chinese happened, as well.
And yeah. They sold Iran to China just because one thing, the Chinese government support the Khamenei regime in Iran. Just imagine what happened to the Iranian people. As you hear yesterday, something in the factory of nuclear factory in Natanz in Iran was destroyed. And all of us, we know that maybe something happened from Israel. Just imagine all Iranian people, many of Iranian people, they were happy. They were happy that, and they appreciate Israeli army or Israeli intelligence service that they did it. It's really interesting that some other country came to Iran and did something and we appreciate them. Why?
Because you're getting onto a subject that I want to leave for the next time we chat. There are two more issues that I want to chat to you about. The one is the makeup of Iranian society in terms of Yazidis, Jews, and other minorities. Yeah. And then I want to have a final session with you about Iran and Israel and the future. And to you, Omid, one of our listeners, his name is Gimple, says, wishing Omid a blessed and meaningful Ramadan. And to our Muslim listeners.
Thank you.
Well.
I'm not religious, but thank you very much. Thank you.